This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to another edition of Washtenaw United. This regular Monday feature explores issues of equity and opportunity in our area in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County. Today, we're going to look at a trauma-informed, community-based after-school program in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti that supports healing and learning for our youngsters. And it comes through the expressive arts. Our guest this morning is Deb Gordon-Gerfinkel. And Deb is the founding executive director of Telling It. And thank you so much for the time today.
Oh, thank you, David, so much.
Let's start with the title, because I think that will inform the rest of our conversation. How did it become Telling It?
So when I moved locally in 2002, I had a germ of an idea that I had been working with in San Francisco around using expressive arts to support young people who may be in some form of crisis. I had a grant form in front of me that I had to fill out, and I was thinking, what is this program? I had to give it a name. Everything that's going on in the space that we share together, the youth and the team, it's really about telling it. It's telling our stories. And so as a working title, I called it Telling It, and it's just kind of stuck.
So what kind of stories are we telling? What are the circumstances that bring the kids into the Telling It program here in Washtenaw County?
Well, when I first started the program back in the 90s in San Francisco, it was the intention of serving young children who were staying in sheltered accommodation to support them with their literacy skills using the arts. And that's kind of where I transferred it locally when I started up again in Washtenaw County.
But there's been an evolution.
There has. And part of that evolution, we started with SOS Community Services, serving their younger children with that intention. And then we branched out with Ozone House Youth, and we found that both the teens of Ozone House and the children of SOS weren't responding to what we were doing as a literacy program. What they were doing is they were using the program as an opportunity to share very painful stories, and so it behooved us to be a lot more intentional and learn how to support the kids therapeutically and not as traditionally as we had been doing, focused specifically on their literacy skills. That's still a byproduct of what we do, but it's all kind of part of the package of how do you support young people who may have stories to share that include some very painful elements.
In the evolution that brings us to today, how would you now define the mission of Telling It for these youngsters?
Telling It now is an after-school program, like you said, that incorporates expressive art forms to support healing and learning. So what we do is we embed multiple aspects of both healing and learning in what we do with games, with activities. We kind of intersect various art forms. We're not purists. We borrow from everything.
So you're using education, therapeutic
Absolutely.
Models, and artistic things that are known to help kids.
That's exactly right. And my background is I'm a drama and education specialist, because in Britain the arts are compulsory in all schools. So I know how to apply the theater arts across curricula. However, what I didn't know is everything that I needed to learn to do what I just explained for Telling It. So I'm very lucky. I was invited to teach for one semester at the University of Michigan in 2002, and now I still teach there. My students are also interning.
That's a long semester.
It's the semester that never ended, and now I'm about to start a new course in advanced practice per student's request. So what I learned from that experience back in the day was that that's an amazing resource. So between the youth, the social workers we partnered with with the organizations, the U of M students, U of M resources.
Beyond those resources, I would imagine that the kids themselves become the most vital of resources.
That's the number one resource, and that's why the program changed in the beginning from a literacy program to what it is now, is because the way the youth were responding. And we do have a rigorous evaluation process that we've built up over the years. And from that, we get the most important feedback to help us grow, to make sure that we're keeping the spaces that we're sharing together safe and brave, so that people are willing to take risks, they feel comfortable enough to take risks. We have no censorship, no judgment on content other than hate language. And even then, once the space is brave enough and safe enough, we start digging into what does that mean? Why is language hateful when people deem it that way?
Washtenaw United continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're exploring how art, therapy and gathering together can change lives through the Telling It program. We're talking with Telling It's founding executive director, Deb Gordon-Gerfinkel, and it sounds as though what you're really doing is just trying to create a safe space for kids who might not otherwise have one.
That's exactly right. I think that's number one. I'll tell you the two things that we do that take up maybe 70% of where we are when we are successful is we show up consistently, we work really hard in collaboration with the youth and the team members from Telling It to create a safe space, and everything else becomes possible because of that.
When we talk about kids who have suffered trauma of one sort or another, we're talking about homelessness, domestic violence, being in gangs and all the ramifications of that. So when they walk out of the building, they've been in a safe space. How do you send them back out into the community with that same sense of safety and purpose?
Every young person that participates in Telling It is already strong and is already resilient.
Because they're survivors.
Because many of them are survivors. Or they might come from really powerfully secure homes where there's love and there isn't food or housing insecurity in any way. So there's a lot of resilience and strength amongst all the young people. And so they entered the space and they left the space with the most incredible strength and resiliency and wisdom and worldliness in some case. And maturity in many cases.
Fair to say that most, when they leave it in a better place than it was when they found it?
I would like to say that what they experience and they take with them is maybe a greater sense of who they are. What are the parts of their identity that they have pride in? What are the parts that they maybe want to look at in a different way? I mean, one of the things that's really important in Telling It, we're not about dramatic change. We're not about major changing happening overnight. We are small moments of growth. It can just be that tiny thing where somebody for weeks and weeks would turn up but wouldn't participate, wouldn't even speak to anybody, and then one day started to engage in a small way. That's what we're looking for, those small moments of growth that are sustainable, because none of us can sustain dramatic changes in our lives.
Now, originally today, we were going to have a second guest, but circumstances arose early today preventing her from joining us. But we still want to take time to share some of her work. Shakira Navia Johnson-Roberson is a 15-year-old and is described as a wonderful writer and poet and a high-achieving student. And Deb, while we're sorry Shakira couldn't join us in person today, we'll consider her here in spirit. How did she come to the Telling It program?
She and her sister, Bria, both wonderful writers, and they both go to
Ypsilanti Community High School.
They go to Ypsilanti Community High School, but they were engaged in the program at Park Ridge Community Center on the south side of Ypsi. So they were regulars there, and they joined Telling It and immediately became leaders. Shakira is an incredible young woman, just so wise and a wonderfully talented writer, really wonderful. A lot happened with her and her sister when they were in the program that I think speaks to everything that we've just been talking about.
Well, without getting into her personal circumstances,
right,
you have mentioned she is a gifted writer and poet. Would you mind sharing one of her writings with us?
I would love to. There's a lot to choose from, but I decided to choose one that gives a kind of three-dimensional feel to who Shakira is, and she's given me permission to do this. This poem is called I Am Me. I am happy. I am never sad. They cannot catch me, gingerbread man. What they want to do is make me be the same. Because sometimes I ain't happy. Sometimes I am sad. Sometimes I get slow, and that is where they come, lock me in a dungeon, and leave me alone. I get drowned in my thoughts, and drowned in my thoughts, and drowned in my past. I just got to remind me that the past ain't who I am. Because I'm strong and I am proud. Sometimes it hurts when I scream it out loud. I take the pain with the pleasure, the benefits with the doubts. They don't understand me, and that is what I want, so they could never categorize or stereotype me. They'll just take me for who I am, and that's how it'll be. So when they ask for my description, I could never say, my only advice for them is to learn along the way. All I am is me, which is all I can be.
That is rather impressive, full of self-awareness and wisdom and strength. That is really impressive for a high school student.
She's not a when she wrote that, she was 11, 12 years old.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because she's, I've known her since as a high school student, but we haven't had as much opportunities to work together. So when she was very involved in the program was when she was still kind of at the end of kind of in middle school years.
is hearing those kinds of gifts, was what they really are, in the environment of telling it, is that what opens up other kids? Is that what makes them feel safe to share who they are?
Absolutely. There's no judgment, no censorship. We have wonderful artists come in and work with the kids, you know, people who can rap, people who can do spoken word, visual artists, musicians, etc. And so all of that really galvanizes, and everybody just riffs off everybody. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you can write, if you don't want to write yourself that day, somebody will scribe for you. There's no judgment on that. That might be just because you just aren't feeling it that day and you would love to just spit it out loud and have somebody write it down. Or it might be because you are struggling a little with literacy and you just don't want to get that in the way.
You offered the Telling It program at a number of venues and for a number of different age groups. How does that work?
We're at the Parkridge Community Center Summer Camp on Thursday afternoons this summer. But once we kick into gear in the academic year in the fall, one of our long-term community partners is Avalon Housing. We have two sites with them, and that's in Ann Arbor. Then we also have three groups that we meet with at Parkridge Community Center, and that's our younger children that are 7 to 11, and then we have two groups that we meet with that are teenagers twice a week. And we also have had a long-standing relationship and presence at Ypsilanti Community Middle School, where we meet with middle schoolers once a week.
The program has grown. How many kids are you currently working with, or do you work with on a general annual basis at this point?
So one of the things that we do is we take a deep dive in all of these groups, which means we have to make sure the groups are small. It doesn't work if the group gets bigger than 10 or 12, because then it just becomes a different kind of program, and it's a lot about crowd control, and we can give less individualized support. In many ways, it doesn't work as well. Plus, there's that family trust feeling, that kind of the intimacy that comes with a small group. So we usually keep around an average of around 10 young people per group. So that means that we can, depending on how many groups we're serving, can meet with over the course of a year, say 60 to 80, depending.
With the number of kids you're serving them well because they're in small groups, but that also means there's probably a lot of kids who could benefit who are not a part of the program now. Mm-hmm. Is there a plan for growth?
We are supported by University of Michigan. We're supported by funding from donations, fundraisers. One of our biggest supporters is Sheriff Jerry Clayton. Mm-hmm. He's been a big supporter and has funded us over the last few years and has made it clear that he's going to continue to do that. So that's an enormous asset. It means that our community partners don't have to come up with the money always. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, because we can provide that funding. So as long as we have that in place, we can continue to grow. Everything comes back to the almighty dollar. And as long as we've got that in place, we can grow and continue offering this program.
Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for the time today and sharing the story of Telling It.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really, really appreciate it.
That is Deb Gordon-Gerfinkel, and she is the founding executive director of Telling It. If you'd like to find out more about Telling It, you can visit our website at WEMU.org. We'll have all the resources for you there. Washtenaw United is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County and is heard every Monday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.